All right, get ready to dive into a really wild world this time. Art heists. We've got a mountain of stuff about this guy, Stefan Breitwieser. News articles, court documents, even a whole book about him. I gotta say, this is some serious movie-level stuff.
You know what's crazy? Breitwieser wasn't like those typical thieves out for a quick cash grab. This guy was obsessed with beauty, with history. Think of someone who really knows art history, carefully picking out certain
Not
pieces.
your average art thief, then, huh? You mentioned he thought of himself as some kind of art rescuer. What's the deal with that?
Well, he believed museums were basically prisons, keeping these beautiful pieces locked away from people. He wanted to set them free, bring them into his own personal world. And get this, his personal world was the attic in his mother's house, hundreds of priceless things just stashed away in the suburbs.
Hold up, his mom's attic. Seriously, what did she think was up there? Like a bunch of old clothes or something?
Well, that's part of the mystery we'll get into. Their relationship is pretty complicated, and his mother's role in all this is, well, let's just say you'll have to read the book to get the full story.
Okay, now I'm even more curious. So, where'd this obsession with art even start? Was he like a kid prodigy with a paintbrush or something?
Actually, it began with history. As a kid, he was always going on these trips with his grandfather, exploring old ruins, digging up stuff. He had a treasure box where he kept all his finds. It kind of shows this deep need to connect with the past, to surround himself with beautiful and historical things.
So the seeds were planted pretty early then. Was his house like a mini museum growing up?
Not quite a museum, but his childhood home was full of antiques and paintings. So yeah, you could say he was always surrounded by beauty.
Makes you wonder if being around all that beauty made him feel like he needed to own it himself, you know?
That's one of the things the book looks into. But there's more to it than that. There's his family dynamics. His relationship with his dad was strained, and he had a really permissive relationship with his mother. It makes you think about how those early relationships could have influenced his choices later on.
Interesting. So we've got the childhood fascination with history and beauty, plus a complicated family situation. Was there a specific moment when he went from being an admirer to an actual thief?
Oh, yeah. As a teenager, he pocketed a Roman coin from a museum. It might have seemed small at the time, but it was a big turning point.
Wow, that's kind of wild. Like something straight out of a movie, the small act that sets the character on a whole new path. And speaking of movies, this next part is even crazier. He actually worked as a museum security guard.
Right? It's almost too good to be true. He's learning all about museum security while secretly planning his heists. It definitely adds a whole layer of intrigue to the story.
Did he use that inside knowledge to come up with some elaborate plan? Like, what was his MO?
He came up with this technique he called the silicon slice. He'd use a simple Swiss Army knife to carefully cut the silicone seals on display cases, take the artwork, and then reseal the case.
A Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
Seriously, this guy was like an art ninja or something. I need to hear more about this silicone slice
Well,
business.
you'll have to read the book for all the details. It explains his methods, the tools he used, the precision involved. It's enough to make you think he was more like a surgeon than a thief.
Okay, you've definitely got me hooked.
Yeah.
But here's what I don't get. If he wasn't selling the art, what was the point? What was driving him?
Well, he hated art thieves who sold stolen pieces. He thought they were crude and destructive. He wanted to possess beauty, to have it all around him. He was making his own private world of art.
So it was all about having it, not making money off it. That adds a whole other layer to him. But wasn't he worried about getting caught with all that stolen art?
He was incredibly careful about not getting caught. He did his research on the security systems, always going for smaller museums with weaker security. And then there's Anne Catherine, his girlfriend and partner in crime.
The Bonnie to his Clyde. What was her role in all this?
She was more than just an accomplice. They both loved art, and they both loved the thrill of the heist. It was that shared passion that drove their early adventures.
So they were a team, united by their love of art and adrenaline. Did they have a specific kind of art they went after?
They were drawn to Northern European art, mainly from the 16th and 17th centuries. They actually kept a scrapbook of all their stolen treasures, like they were making their own weird museum catalog.
A scrapbook of stolen art. That's both fascinating and kind of creepy, but it all sounds a little too easy. Did they ever have any close calls?
Oh, there were a few, especially in the beginning. In fact, their very first attempt to steal a painting nearly landed them in jail.
Oh, really? What happened? Did they make some rookie mistake?
Well, let's just say their escape involved a bit of improvising and a whole lot of luck. That should have been a wake-up call.
But they were hooked on the thrill of it all. couldn't resist the temptation. I can already tell this story is up to get a whole lot more interesting.
You got that right. Things get pretty wild. Remember how much Breitweiser hated art thieves who sold their stolen stuff? He thought they were just crude and destructive.
Yeah, he was all about possessing beauty, not about making a profit.
Exactly. And that makes their downfall even more ironic. Their luck ran out in Lucerne, Switzerland, the same city where they had that close call we talked about.
Seriously? Back to the same place. What happened?
Breitweiser was caught, red-handed, trying to steal a bugle from the Richard Wagner Museum.
A bugle? Out of everything to steal? Why a bugle?
It does seem pretty random. But even this weird theft tells us something about Breitweiser. You'll have to read the book to get the connection, though.
Come on, you're killing me with the suspense. So he gets caught stealing a bugle. What happens next? Did they throw him in a Swiss jail?
He got arrested, yeah. But the crazy thing is how he acted during that first interrogation. Totally calm, almost arrogant, you know?
Like he couldn't believe they actually caught him. Talk about cocky.
But that cockiness didn't last long. Days turned into weeks. He's stuck in this foreign jail, can't contact Anne Catherine or his mother. He knows the police are going to search his mom's house eventually and find his whole collection.
Oof. That realization must hit him hard. All that stolen art just sitting there waiting to be discovered.
And that's where the story takes this crazy turn. His mother, when she found out he was arrested, totally panicked, decided to handle things herself.
Hold on. What did she do? Try to bribe the guards. Skip town.
She did something way more drastic. She went up to the attic and destroyed the whole collection.
Destroyed it? Like smashed everything up?
She dumped some of it in a canal, burned other stuff. Can you imagine? Priceless paintings going up in smoke. It was a desperate move, trying to protect her son in a really messed up way.
Wow. Makes you wonder what she was really thinking. Trying to get rid of the evidence, or was it something deeper?
That's one of the most interesting things the book dives into. That relationship, the whole mother-son thing, the secrets they shared.
So her actions had to have some major consequences, right? Not just for her son's case, but for the art world too.
Absolutely. Not only was this incredible collection lost forever, but it also made the case against Breitweiser a lot harder. They had his confession, but no stolen goods to back it up.
So did he basically get away with it because of what his mom did?
Not quite. He was sent back to France and ended up in court in both Switzerland and France. Those trials, man, they were media circuses. Everyone had an opinion, from art experts to psychologists.
This is where things get even more tangled. What about Anne Catherine? Where does she fit into all this?
Their relationship was a roller coaster, to say the least. There was real love there and passion, but also a lot of manipulation and control. Remember how he slapped her after finding out about the abortion?
Yeah, that was a chilling detail. Showed a really dark side to things.
She was torn between loving him and being scared of how reckless he was becoming. In the end, their shared secret tore them apart.
Okay, so let's jump ahead a bit. What happened to Breitweiser after the trials? Did he manage to turn his life around?
He spent time in prison, both in Switzerland and France. But even after getting out, he couldn't really escape what he'd done. He got a job as a lumberjack, tried to reconnect with his father, even started dating someone new.
Sounds like he was trying to move on, to leave his art-stealing days behind.
He was, but there's a twist. Remember how he always said he'd give the art back eventually? Well, he got a book deal and used it to tell his story. Presented himself as this misunderstood art lover.
Ah, I see what you're saying. A way to control how people saw him, maybe even justify what he did.
Exactly. But here's the crazy part. Even with this new life and the book deal, he couldn't shake his compulsions.
Wait, are you saying he went back to stealing? I gotta know what happened. So he actually went back to stealing. After everything, jail, the lost art, the whole betrayal thing, he just couldn't help himself.
It wasn't art this time, but it was still valuable stuff, antique books. He was hitting up libraries, private collections, made a decent amount of money selling them online.
Wow. That's both surprising and not surprising at all. Like, he was just wired to have these beautiful historical things. But books, that's different from paintings and sculptures.
It might seem different on the surface, but I think the motivation was probably the same. Remember how he always said he was taking art because it was neglected, like he was rescuing it?
So he used that same logic on books.
Yeah.
Saying they were better off with him than gathering dust in some library.
Exactly. And that brings up some interesting questions about why people collect things. What makes someone risk everything, not for money, but just to have something beautiful or rare?
It's like he had to have these objects around him, almost like they were part of him. Fascinating, but kind of creepy too. But what about the ethics of it all? Stealing is still stealing, right?
Oh, absolutely. What Breitweiser did was wrong, no matter how he tried to justify it. It makes you think about who art really belongs to. The collector, the museum, or everyone.
That's a question that goes beyond just this case, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Makes you think about the role of museums, how much we value art, right, and what people will do to have it.
This case really turns our ideas about art theft upside down. It wasn't about money for Breitweiser. It was something deeper, something psychological.
Almost like he was addicted to beauty. But that doesn't make what he did okay. And how did he manage to pull off so many heists for so long without getting caught?
It shows how vulnerable smaller museums are, you know? They rely on trust, and they don't always have the best security. They weren't prepared for someone like Breitweiser. Plus, he often went for lesser-known pieces, which made them easier to hide.
It's a shame it took something like this to highlight those weaknesses. Mm-hmm. Hopefully museums have learned from it and beefed up their security.
It's a tough balance, though. Protecting the art while still making it accessible to people, you can't just lock everything away in a vault and expect people to appreciate it.
So true. I think the saddest part of this whole thing is that the art is gone. All those masterpieces, lost forever because of one man's obsession.
It's a real tragedy, but it also shows how fragile beauty is, how easily it can be lost or destroyed. And in a way, it makes us appreciate the art that has survived even more.
That's a good point. This deep dive has definitely given me a lot to think about. Was Breitweiser a victim of his own obsession? A criminal mastermind? Some tragic fuss caught between love, beauty, and the law? I guess we all have to decide for ourselves.
The book lays it all out there, all sides of the story, without taking sides. It's full of twists and turns, fascinating details, and really gets into the psychology of it all. It'll make you question your own ideas about art, ownership, and what makes people tick.
You've convinced me. I'm definitely adding this to my reading list. This whole case is like a puzzle box. Intriguing, complicated, full of surprises.
And who knows? Maybe someday some of those lost masterpieces will turn up. That would add a whole new chapter to this already wild story.
That would be amazing. It just goes to show, the art world is full of mysteries. But for now, we've reached the end of our deep dive. We hope you enjoyed exploring this case with us. Maybe we've even inspired you to learn more about art theft.
And hey, next time you're at a museum, take a second to really look at the beauty around you. And if you see someone with something suspicious sticking out of their pocket, maybe just give security a heads up.
Good advice. Thanks for joining us on this journey. We'll be back soon with another deep dive into a whole new world of intrigue. Until then, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep those brains working.